Welcome to the Calvary Community Church Podcast. For more content and information about Calvary, please visit our website at calvaryhouston.com.
Well, this morning we have a handout for you. It's interesting that they chose today to bring that honor and blessing and talk about deacons and elders. We're in the process of nominating new deacons, and so we have a handout for you. And so if everybody will take one, I believe that we have some people that are distributing them right now. And so we're going to talk about our deacon ministry here at Calvary. It's one of our significant leadership ministries in our church. We're blessed to have amazing servant leaders here at Calvary, and we're going to be nominating 4 to 5 new deacons. And our current deacons are Megan Yarbrough, Shannon Birdwell, Tom Petrie, Jane Winnie, Al Nash, Evelyn Owens, and Jim Edwards. And then you saw them, some of them were up here. And then also want to remind you about the people that serve on our elder team. That's Steve Buckles, Russ Gressett, Martin Jordana, Steve Meeks, Doug Merriweather, Joshua Rushing, Keith Ressler, and myself. And so these servants are such a gift to us at Calvary and to who we are. And I just want to, again, just say I'm so grateful for the leadership teams, our small group leaders, our ministry leaders that serve in different areas and helping. And this body is full of active people who are on mission with the Lord, and it's super encouraging to me, and I want to thank y'all for that. And Lord, we want to thank you for putting us together as a spiritual family on mission with you in the earth right now. Lord, we thank you that you have called us for such a time as this. Lord, in the midst of a world that's lost its mind, in the midst of a world that is so needy and broken, we thank you that your glory is rising on your people. Lord, we thank you that we get to be a demonstration of what Jeannie said, that we get to be a people who are full of courage. Lord, we can be bold and courageous, Lord, in this hour. We can be strong because of who you've called us to be and who you've made us to be, and because you promise us your presence. Lord, we give you praise. You do not just tell us what to do and send us out on our own. We thank you that you are with us. Jesus, you said you would never leave us, never forsake us. Thank you for the ministry of the Spirit of Christ with us, and thank you that we get to partner together, not only with you, but with one another in what you're doing in the earth today. In our spheres of influence, in our great city, Lord, we love Greater Houston. We thank you for putting us in this city, and we thank you for calling us to the nations from this little corner of Northwest Houston. And so we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So our deacons, they're a group of godly people with a heart for the Lord and for his body, believers who are brought together. They're willing to serve and give their lives to help us grow toward being a healthy body and a beautiful bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. So our model of deacon ministry actually comes out of Acts chapter 6. So if you'll turn to Acts chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 1 to 7. And we gave you this handout. We've also made the handout online. It's available under my sermon notes, under the website. And so I want you to have this because I want you to pray through these qualifications. I want you to pray through our description of ministry, and I want you to nominate men and women that God speaks to you about, and you say, I see this person deaconing. They're already doing the stuff. And so I want you to think about that as we're going through. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And I really appreciated what Russ said about I have people in the midst of our messages and sermons, they'll come up to me afterward and they say, you know, Pastor, when you said this, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and I didn't hear another word you said. And so I tend to rejoice with that. Amen. And seriously though, I do. I rejoice that the Lord's speaking. And so some people go after the treasure, the X marks the spot, as Russ said, really quickly. But I give you this handout, so if the Lord begins speaking to you or talking to you, you can reference it and you can see what we're talking about in our deacons meeting ministry. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together, and they said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we'll turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. When we describe our deacon ministry here at Calvary, we call it a meter of needs, a meter of needs. The word deacon simply means servant. And the office of deacon is a calling to work very practically to meet needs in the church family. They stay attuned to the church family, and they're plugged in order to help us meet practical needs. And they help us to do the ministry of the word and prayer for the overall health of the body of Christ here at Calvary. So deacon ministry at Calvary is first a meter of needs. Secondly, it's a minister to the pastors. Deacons assist the pastors and elders by relieving them of distractions, demands, and pressures that would try to rob their time. And deacons stand ready to assist the pastors and elders in any service that would support and promote the word of God, the ministry of prayer, and the visionary oversight that's here. So deacon ministry at Calvary is about, it's a meter of needs, and it's a minister to us as pastors and elders. It's also a maintainer of unity. We see here in Acts chapter 6 that a division has come up because there are unmet needs. There are things that are happening that's causing strife and division, and people were being overlooked, and it was resulting in pain. We can hear people complaining and talking about it. And so the deacons were charged with meeting very practical needs and with helping to restore unity and harmony in the church family. They partnered with the pastors, the elders, or in this passage, the apostles, to do that ministry. So deacons help meet needs. They minister to the pastors. They help to maintain unity. And then they're a model of Christ's likeness. So the people that were chosen here in Acts chapter 6, it described them as full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom, full of faith in the Holy Spirit. They were willing to give themselves to this responsibility. And so when you see a deacon, someone deaconing in the body of Christ here, it's like they're a shining star in the body. They just stand out by the servant leadership that they provide, the way that they care, and the way that they serve. So they're actually a model of Christ's likeness. By the way, I've been sharing with you my journey and learning about how God has wired our brains to attach to Him and to attach to others, because when we do that, our brains are fueled with the gas or the fire of joy. And we were meant to attach to God and to others. And when I think about deacon ministry and I think about Christ's likeness, you know, deacons are helping us to be filled up. They're helping us to move in joy and in love. They're helping to be there when there are needs, when there are hurts, when there's grieving, when there are wounds. They're just already doing what Jesus is doing, and they're modeling for us how to care, how to love, how they're just shining examples in the body of Christ. And I want us to be that for one another. I want us to learn how to be there and to care. And praise God, He's given us men and women in this body that are already doing those kind of things. Deacon qualifications. We want to talk about what the Bible says. When you're praying about who should be a deacon here at Calvary, I want you to keep in mind these qualifications. In Acts chapter 6, verse 3, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the spirit of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. So the scripture says, from among you. In other words, they're relationally connected. They're relationally grounded. They're personally committed They're not just mailing in their check, but they're actually with their presence, with their proximity, and with their lifestyle, they are from among us. They are a part of who we are. And then they have a good reputation. So this is a person that is reputable both inside the congregation and outside the four walls of the church. So we want people who are nominated that their testimony is consistent. They're full of integrity, both when we're together as believers and they live that out in their workplace, their home place, wherever place that God sends them, they're full of that integrity. They're full of that assignment. And then they're full of good reputation. I've already said good reputation. They're full of the Spirit. And you can actually observe the Spirit on somebody. You can observe the fruit of the Spirit. You can see when God is using people, and we want to be a people who can see what the Spirit says, what the Spirit points out, and we want to recognize one another after the Spirit. So they're full of the Spirit, and they're full of wisdom, full of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to make right decisions or to know what we ought to do or to act on what we should be doing. And they're also in charge of a task, so they're willing to take something on and make it happen. And so that just describes from Acts chapter 6 some of the characteristics, some of the character qualities of a deacon. Now I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. In this passage, we have another description or another list of the qualifications of those that would serve as deacons. When you read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7 are actually describing the duty of the overseer or the pastor or the leader that's mentioned in this passage. And it's interesting that in this passage, it doesn't give us a lot of detail about what deacon ministry looks like. We have an illustration in Acts chapter 6, but defining the job description is left up to the local leadership team. And so that's why you see different ministries in different churches. They're different based on the specific calling and leadership that the Lord has given them. They might have the office of elders, pastors, and they might have deacons, but they have different roles because it's up to the local church to say, this is what this ministry is about. But here we have qualifications. Here we have characteristics. The Lord is raising our eyes and saying, we want men and women to live into these realities of Christ, and we want these shining examples in the body. And so this isn't prescriptive as it's descriptive. It's saying this is what we ought to be attaining to as believers in Christ, and then we want to help that come forth in all of our lives. And so these aren't rigid laws. These are things that describe, hey, here's how they're growing. Here's how they're becoming. This is what God is doing in their lives. So this passage gives us a tangible expression of their impact on other people and of the Lord on them. So it's very descriptive. So let's read, and we're going to start in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's a trustworthy statement. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, it's a fine work that he desires to do. An overseer or a pastor then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, uncontentious, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man doesn't know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a new convert, lest he become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have good reputation with those outside the church, so that he may not fall into reproach in a snare of the devil. Deacons, likewise, must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they're beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. And let deacons be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and households, For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 8, we begin to have some of the qualifications going beyond what we read in Acts chapter 3. Dignity, that means they're worthy of respect. They're serious-minded, or they're level-headed. They're solid and steady. They're not double-tongued. They're not deceitful. In other words, they're sincere. They're full of truth and honesty. It says they're not addicted to much wine. They're not given to excess. In other words, they're temperate. They have self-control, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And they're not fond of sordid gain. In other words, they're not greedy. They're not a money grubber. They're not dishonest. So they're honest in business, and their life is not, I guess it's not wrapped around money in a controlling sense. It's a tool to be used. So in their personal life, their people are sincere, temperate, and honest. And then in the religious life, it says holding the mystery of the faith in verse 9 with a clear conscience. So there's a wholehearted commitment to the faith and to the word of God, to his truth. So they're sound in truth, and they're sound in their behavior. And verse 10 says, they're tested beyond reproach. So they've been proven. They've been examined. You can actually look at their lives, and there's a test. They've passed the test. They're stable in their lifestyle and who they are in the Lord. And then women deacons, the qualification for women in verse 11 basically is a summary of 8 through 10, which is saying, hey, what goes for the men goes for the women. And so it's and then it goes on to repeat some things and then say some new things. So dignified, again, worthy of respect, level-headed, and then not malicious gossips. Again, sincere and truthful is the principle that God emphasizes here. Temperate, that's they're moderate, they're self-restraint. And then they're faithful. Again, they have a proven stability in their lifestyle. They're not just shaken. They're not just going from wind of doctrine from here and there and tossed by those winds. Then in the family life for a deacon, they're the husbands of only one wife, which literally translates a one-woman kind of man or a one-man kind of woman. So they manage your household and they have a focus and all that. And by the way, I want to say this. In no way does this, these are qualifications. This is descriptive. It's not prescriptive. It's not saying you have to be married to be a deacon, right? Whether you're male or female. But it's saying if you are, then this is going to be descriptive of who you are. And then verse 13, for those who have served well as deacons, they have obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith through Jesus Christ. So this is kind of a checkpoint for those that are already serving as deacons among us. Faithfulness to these qualifications or these qualities are going to have some results in their lives. They're going to be respected by God and people. They're going to have a boldness to share their faith. And they're going to have confidence in God, which inspires others to have confidence in them. So what God does in them and how they live into their calling will actually have a testimony and a sign to others. So there's three things that I want you to do with this handout, with the information that's online. I want you to pray. I want you to consider these biblical qualifications as you pray. And then I want you to look for people that are deaconing. So we're going to turn the word deacon into a verb this morning, okay? And so we talk about the ministry of deacons. What I like to do when I'm praying, I'm saying, Lord, who is already deaconing in my small group, in the spheres of influence that I'm a part of, the ministry efforts, the relationships that I'm a part of at Calvary, who's already deaconing? And then you're actually going to find more than 4 to 5 or 6. You're going to see a whole lot of people because this is a place where we're on mission with God and we're serving the Lord. But you don't want to say, oh, I think that person might be a good deacon. That's not the qualification. The qualification is, Holy Spirit, who are you putting your finger on when I'm praying and asking and I'm holding up these qualifications? Who is it that you're highlighting that says they're already doing this stuff? They're already living into that, and we just want to acknowledge that as a church family in our midst. And so ask the Lord, who he wants you to nominate. So we're serious about hearing the voice of the Lord here at Calvary, aren't we? We're a people who listen to the voice of the Lord. So take the time. And that skill that we've been talking about spending time with the Lord and giving thanks. So one good thing might be is just to think of some people and you're giving thanks for them. And then ask him, say, Lord, do you want them to be a deacon at this time? What do you think about them in terms of a deacon? And so it's just that kind of journaling is just helpful. And again, Lord, help me to be aware of someone. A lot of times when you've got servants, we're not aware that they're serving. They're in the background. They're doing the labor of love, and they're not doing it for attention. They're not doing it to draw a name for themselves. They're not doing it to build themselves up. That's just who they are. And so sometimes you don't even know the people that are deaconing, serving, because that's just their nature. They're already behind the scenes doing all that. And so just ask the Lord to show you. And then the biblical qualifications, you know, consider these things. Again, don't use it as a rigid law and say, wow, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, this guy's a 9, this lady's a 2. You know, don't use it like that. It's not legalism. But you want to see a whole lot of these in their lives. And then if you see an area where it's not matching up, you go, maybe it's not time for them yet. But even at that, you still ask the Lord, because the Lord, he hits a straight lick with a crooked stick with all of us, doesn't he? And so he gets some stuff done. That was funny, actually. That's the one joke of this morning. And you missed your chance. Missed it. I do have another funny one. And so my wife told me if I'm ever going to tell a joke, because I just can't do it, she said, please tell people you're going to tell a joke. So I'm going to tell a joke. So my wife showed me this video, and it was of this young mom. She had a daughter who was about 2, something like that. And so I didn't see the whole clip because my attention span, I just missed it. Because it's one of those Instagram kind of things that just goes really fast, and I'm not even on Instagram. And that's not even the funny part. But she showed this video, and this mom with this is saying, allergies, allergies. And the little 2-year-old goes back, coronavirus, coronavirus, coronavirus. And mom's going, no. When your teacher asks you, allergies, allergies. And the daughter goes, coronavirus, coronavirus. Listen, this week, all the stuff in the air, y'all know I deal with sinus infections and allergies a lot. And all of a sudden, it just became an infection. And, you know, I know that people are looking at me, listening to me, and they're just going, you know, stay away. I want y'all to say, allergies. Allergies, okay. Now, isn't that funny? That was genuinely funny, wasn't it? Wow. That's as good as it gets. Okay, so here's the directions for nominating deacons. The directions for nominating deacons. You may nominate up to 6 people for consideration as a deacon. We're looking for 4 or 5. Is what we're feeling like at this time the Lord wants to do. And then I want to encourage you between now and October the 24th to turn in your nominations. And official voting members of Calvary may submit nominations for consideration. So people ask, so who's a member of Calvary? Who's a member of Calvary? Well, a member of Calvary is someone who's a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been baptized by immersion and has gone through our Discovery Day, our new member process, which is 4 or 5 steps. And so that's somebody that we led to the Lord in the midst of our ministry and journey. And then they became a part of the body of Christ. They said, I want to belong. I want to identify. They follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And then they've gone through the new member process. Or there are people that God has led to Calvary who are already believers, who are already baptized, and who say, I want to be a part of this church. And so they go through the new member process. And they're a part of what the Lord is doing here. And then there are secret members of Calvary, those that don't know they're members. We've had a bunch of young people, when their parents join the church, like Sid and I were reminiscing. We're celebrating 40 years as a congregation this year. When we come to the last Sunday in September of 2022, we will be celebrating 40 years. So this is our 40th year, just celebrating what the Lord is doing. And Sid and many others of you have been here since the beginning or right near the beginning. And so Sid's family is a part, and then some others joined, and their kids grew up here and came to faith in Jesus here, and they didn't know that they were a member of the church. They didn't know when they got to be 16, they could participate in things like this process. And so we love to surprise our teens and say, hey, you're a member of Calvary. Did you know that? No? Thought I was just a member of the youth group. No, you're a member of a family. And we try to cast vision for who we are. So those, we don't want them to be secret members, but we try to help them as they grow. So anyone who's 16 and older is a member of Calvary can vote. So there's several ways to make your nominations known. So you've got a handout now. You see there's six lines. Would you pray and ask the Lord? And you can nominate up to six people. It doesn't have to be six people. Again, we're looking for four or five. And you can place those in the offering baskets at the end of the services, and you can communicate with us that way. Or you can give your nominations to any of our staff people, and we'll be sure to get them to the right place. You can also email your nominations to email@calvaryhouston.com for you that are online or in this room. And then there's a QR code in my notes, and I also wrote a blog. And so you can click on that, and it will take you to our website. There's a form, or to the Ministry One app, and you can do the nominations from our website with this link or the Ministry One app, and you can use your phone to do that. So we're trying to make it easy. There's a bunch of different ways that you can do it, but those are the different opportunities that are before you. Here's our plan. So here's the process that we go through for nominating deacons and to having new deacons step up and serve. So first we preach on it and we share with the body, and we're asking you to do three things. What were those three things? Pray, consider the qualifications, and what was the third one? Anybody remember? Yes, you have to nominate. You have to write down the name of the people that God's speaking to you about. So And we're using the term deaconing, right? So that's what we're trying to do. I couldn't even remember the third one, so if you got two out of three, that's good. Then, between now and the 24th, we're receiving those nominations. Then, after the nominations, we actually have a deacon screening committee. There's a committee that our bylaws expresses, and we put that together, and then we go through the names, and we consider those different nominations. And then we decide on who the Lord's leading at that time, and we identify those deacon candidates, and we communicate with them and give them time to make a decision. And then that screening committee will present those deacon candidates to the official church membership, hopefully by the end of November. It takes a while to get everybody interviewed in the schedules, but hopefully by the 28th of November. And then we hope to commission them on December the 5th. So there's a process. I just wanted to say that. A lot of times people say, hey, we did the vote, and so where are we? Well, we'll come back to the church. We'll come back to the church for a confirmation vote on whatever date. It'll probably be the 28th of November. And these are the people that we're recommending. What do you say, yes or no? And so we do that. So I want to thank you for being a part of the family of God here at Calvary. I want to thank you for being in partnership with Jesus on mission. And we're on mission with him together in Greater Houston and beyond. I want to thank you for taking the time to pray, to reflect on these qualifications, and to help let the Lord identify people that are deaconing, and you're going to write their names down for us to consider, and you're going to be doing that nomination process. By the way, on the connection card that you see at the top, it says, I'm a first-time guest, I'm a second-time guest, I'm a regular attender, or I'm a member. One of the reasons that we do that is because we want to learn how to connect with you, and we want to know where you are in your spiritual journey, but it's also a reminder, I want you to find your church home, amen? I hope that everybody in this room, I hope that you'll feel at home here at Calvary, and if you're looking for a church home, we would love to have you here. And so we want people to move from being a first-time guest to a second-time guest, to a regular attender, to a member. We want to help people find their place. And if this turns out, as you pray about it, and this is not the place where God wants you, we will help you find your place. We actually have pastor prayer group relationships with the pastors in our area, and we want to help you find the church that fits you. But this is the time to belong. In the midst of a world that's lost its mind, we talk about attachment to God and attachment to others. What I'm learning about the way that God wired us, we actually need each other more than we ever knew. God designed us to connect with Him and with others. And we need the body of Christ. Like this morning, there's been different things going on in this service, but did you know, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22, did you know that the Lord says, I am building you into a temple where I'm at home, where I'm here in the midst of the people? Are we aware that God's really here this morning? So we need each other, and God says, there's something about the corporate body. Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says that you individually, me as an individual, we are the dwelling place of God in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in these temples, but He also lives in a body temple when we're gathered corporately, whether we're in a small group or whatever it is. God moves in the midst of His people. So we want to see people find their home, find their connectivity, and forever how long that is. You know, in Houston, there are people coming and going all the time, getting transferred literally all over the world. But we tell people, even if you're here for a few weeks, find a church home and plug in. Get involved. And who knows, God may have you here for longer than that. I still have some friends who are friends of mine from Colorado, and they've been asking God to remove them from this exile for years. They've been praying to get back to Colorado, where it has four seasons. And they've never joined a church because they're wanting God to remove the exile. May I tell you, would you just blossom and bloom where you're planted? Really? Some of us are going, I didn't want to be in Houston. And some of us are going, I still don't want to be in Houston. But let me tell you something. I love this city. God called us here. I have to admit that when I was 9 years old, I lived here for 9 months. My dad was in the oil field chemical business. We moved all over the state. I had the privilege of living here for 9 months. And I made the statement, I will never live in Houston, Texas. I was so sick. I was from West Texas, and it felt like it rained every day, all day, coming from out there where it didn't rain at all. I'd be riding my bike to our apartment complex, and I would fall into the ditch because the wet roads were, all the ditches were filled. I couldn't find the driveway to our apartment complex. And you know what? The Lord surprised me. And I've been here 40 years. And you know what? I was driving downtown one time to a meeting, and I was just telling the Lord, I love this city. I love this place. Thank you for calling me here. And He reminded me, you have a spiritual heritage here. Did you know during those 9 months that I lived here, I could have come to Christ in about seven different little cities throughout the Texas, but the Lord called my name at Memorial Drive Baptist Church in the midst of a revival meeting, and I got saved. I had never put two and two together, and He said, you've got a spiritual heritage here. Friends, I want you to know, you've got a spiritual heritage here. You are called. If God's got you breathing and got you here, then I don't know what you do with that hope for Colorado, but we need you here. Do you understand? So ever how long you're here, find your place here in Houston and help us to minister and partner with Jesus on His mission here. And I want to invite you to do that here at Calvary Community Church. Wherever God's calling you, you can start that process on the back of that connection card. Hey, I'd like to know more about joining the church. But listen, more important than joining a church, this Jesus that we exalted this morning, did you know John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not, we don't quote 17, but for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. I was journaling this week about eternal life. We've had the privilege of having memorial services and funeral services here this past year, about 7 or 8. And I was thinking about my friends that have already gone on to be with the Lord and family members. I am so glad I have eternal life in Jesus. I'm so glad I'm going to get to see them again. I am so glad we're going to be a part of putting this world together in the millennial kingdom and what God is doing, reigning with Jesus for 1,000 years. And for longer than that, we're going to get to serve. I want you to know you're an eternal person. You're going to live somewhere for eternity. I want to invite you today, this person we were singing about, Joshua led us to marvel at his life, his sacrifice, his love, and the power of his blood that breaks the power of canceled sin. So I really want you to be a part of a church, but I want you to be a part of the family of God. If you don't know Jesus and you're online or you're in this room, would you give your life to Jesus today? Let's all stand. Lord, we are so grateful that you put us in natural families. Lord, thank you that you bring us into congregational or spiritual families. But God, I want to say thank you for making us a part of your forever family. Thank you for the power of your life in us that breaks the power of canceled sin and that changes us. And we use words like it saves us or makes us a new creation. Thank you for adopting us into your family, oh God. Thank you. Lord, this morning, we've talked about this important ministry at our church. But Lord, the impression is just coming. Not only do people need to be a part of a church family, you're longing for them to be a part of your eternal family. Right now, if that's you, if there's a tug in your heart, the Holy Spirit is bearing witness. You can say it in a whole bunch of different ways, but something is getting stirred up in you. I want to invite you to say yes to Jesus. I want to invite you, and you pray it like this. You can pray with me. You can say, Father, thank you for speaking to me today. Thank you for calling my name. Thank you for this divine appointment. Thank you for giving your son, Jesus Christ, to be my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, I put my faith in you. Not my good works, not my family reputation. I put my faith in you. Thank you for dying and for rising again to be Lord of the universe and Lord of my life. I receive you. Father, I receive this gift of life you've given in Jesus. And with the help of your Holy Spirit, I'm going to follow you from this day on. So this is my prayer. And I prayed in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that and you're in this room, I want to invite you, ministry team members, if you'll come up, I want to invite you to come up and say, hey, I gave my life to Jesus today, and let them seal that. And we have a gift for you we want to bless you with. We want to send you, if you're online and you did that, please email us at email@calvaryhouston.com. We want to connect with you and help you in your spiritual journey, help you in your life journey. Lord, thank you that you're speaking to us right now. Thank you for what you're doing, oh God. The other thing is I was praying for this time. I had a couple other, I'm supposed to pray for, I think, the impression is for the release of the spirit of discernment, the spiritual gift of discernment, discerning of spirits. People have lost their mind in our culture, and believers have lost their mind in our culture. Believers are biting and devouring one another, and that's actually illegal. We're attacking our brother and sister as if they're our enemy. Lord, right now, I want to ask you for my life and for our lives. I want to ask you for the spiritual gift of discernment. Lord, would you help us to discern whether something is of a demon spirit, the divine spirit, or human spirit? And would you help us to know, to discern, Lord, give us discernment to know what's behind the comments or the concerns going on. I'm praying, I'm asking you for a release of this spiritual gift in Jesus' name. I pray that for my life. I pray that we'll see after the Spirit, that we'll not rely on the natural vision of our eyes, but we'll sense and see by the Spirit. Help us to see each other after the Spirit. Forgive us for judging. Forgive us for passing judgment. Lord, I do pray that you'll speak to us about this deacon ministry, this process. Lord, would you help us? Lord, would you help us to see people who are deaconing according to the qualifications that we see? And would you help us to nominate men and women for this season of leadership and servant leadership as deacons? Lord, I pray right now that you release the ministry of the Holy Spirit with healing, deliverance, encouragement in this room. And we pray that people will have encounters with you where they're healed, saved, delivered, and encouraged. And I pray that for my friends online. And Lord, we prayed for the gift of discernment. Lord, we just want to acknowledge, we sense that you're here right now, and we worship you and we thank you. And we acknowledge you. Would you do the work of the kingdom of God and Lord Jesus through our lives, Holy Spirit? Lord, we love you, and we love being a part of this congregation, and we love being a part of what you're doing in the earth. I pray now that you'll send my friends with the favor of God in the mind of Christ and with the blessed anointing of the Holy Spirit as they go about their activities this week. Would you bless them? Lord, we release that same blessing to our friends online. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode from Calvary Community Church Podcast. For more content and information about Calvary Community Church, please visit our website at calvaryhouston.com.